That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Welcome to the Tech Meme Ride Home for Thursday, May 10th, 2018. Today, the suspected Russian Facebook ads are released. A new Apple credit card is coming. Why Roku is a quiet powerhouse. Robinhood raises a ton of money. And how your digital assistant might be susceptible to subliminal commands. Here's what you missed today in the world of tech. House Democrats today released 3,519 Facebook ads that they say are from Russia-linked accounts spanning the years 2015 through 2017, showing the types of ads they say were attempting to sow distrust and contention in U.S. politics. The ads were released today by Democrats on the House Intelligence Committee, and Representative Adam Schiff of California, the ranking member of the committee, released a statement saying, quote, "The only way we can begin to inoculate ourselves against a future attack is to see firsthand the types of messages, themes, and imagery the Russians used to divide us," end quote. There's a website where you can download a sampling of the ads, which I will link to in the show notes. It should be noted that these ads were not entirely one-sided, but were seemingly attempting to stir up passions on any side of a given issue. For instance, there was an ad spreading fake news that a Muslim was involved in a shooting incident in 2016 when that wasn't true. But there was also another ad encouraging Muslims to let their fellow Americans know that they don't support terrorism. There were competing ads encouraging people to protest for and against President Trump shortly after his election, but before his inauguration. As Bloomberg's Sarah Friar tweeted, "I've looked through many of the Facebook ads, and it's clear that Russia was aiming to exploit the fault lines in American society, gun control, race relations, immigration, and get people angry on both sides." The Wall Street Journal's Byron Tao tweeted, "Some Russia-linked ads are downright weird. At one point, they spent $10 to show an ad to male employees of Facebook who lived within 10 miles of Palo Alto. Do you want to see the top five girls who applied for a job at Facebook?" the ad said. It got 19 clicks. A little bit of Apple News potpourri here. Apple announced today that it is canceling plans for a $1 billion data center in Ireland because of delays in the approval process that have stalled the project for 3 years now. The data center, which was supposed to cover 116,000 square meters, was initially scheduled to go online in 2017, but then came the issues around approving the project, which originally stemmed from environmental impact and energy usage concerns, and eventually evolved into individual complaints. The data center was supposed to bring 300 jobs to Western Ireland, and according to the Irish Times, more than 2,000 people marched in support of the data center in November of 2016. Irish Minister for Business, Enterprise, and Innovation, Heather Humphreys, said, quote, "The government, together with IDA Ireland, did everything it could to support this investment. Ultimately, in spite of these efforts, Apple has taken a commercial decision not to proceed, making it clear that the delays that beset this project caused them to reconsider their plans," end quote. Apple had applied to build a sister center at the same time in Denmark, and that data center is about to come online shortly. Some news surrounding Apple and apps. 9to5Mac is reporting that over the last few days, Apple seems to have been cracking down on apps that violate its guidelines by sharing location data with third parties without explicit user consent. Apple has been removing the offending apps from the App Store and informing developers that they're in violation. This appears to be yet another move in anticipation of the upcoming European GDPR law going into effect in a matter of weeks. Apple is generally very strict about privacy policies around apps, but it seems that in some cases, it feels it might not have been strict enough and is now erring on the side of caution. Also this morning, Bloomberg is reporting that sources have told it that Apple soon plans to let users buy subscriptions to some third-party video services in its TV app starting next year. Obviously, you can subscribe to any number of subscription streaming services inside their own apps, but this would be the first time Apple would allow other services to sell within its TV app, the intention of which is to aggregate all sorts of content into one place so that you don't have to go searching around a dozen different apps just to find what you want to watch. Amazon currently does something similar, allowing you to subscribe to various providers like HBO or Showtime right within its Amazon Prime Video app. As Bloomberg points out, this would be an interesting new way for Apple to further boost its much-scrutinized services revenue, as presumably it would take a cut from any subscriptions made from within the TV app. Finally, the Wall Street Journal is reporting that Apple is partnering with Goldman Sachs to launch a new Apple Pay-branded credit card. Apple already has an Apple Rewards credit card with Barclays, but this looks like a replacement for that partnership. What's the angle here? Quoting from the Journal piece, "As new iPhone sales growth slows, Apple is focusing on services such as mobile payments, streaming music subscriptions, and Apple Store sales. Apple Pay, which generates revenue on each transaction, is a key contributor, but adoption has been slower than executives hoped. Goldman, meanwhile, is pushing into consumer banking to compensate for a slump in its securities trading, where revenue has fallen by two-thirds since the financial crisis. It launched a retail banking business called Marcus in 2016 for online savings accounts and personal loans, and executives have been exploring adding credit cards and wealth management tools." Speaking of streaming video in the previous segment, this is an earnings report from a company I might not have mentioned normally, but Roku reported earnings yesterday and said that Q1 revenue was $136 million, beating expectations, and its net loss narrowed to $6.9 million, also beating expectations. But what was super interesting in the numbers was the news that for the first time, Roku made more money from advertising and licensing fees than from hardware sales. You might be familiar with Roku as that maker of hockey puck-like devices that are custom-made to hook up to TVs and provide a platform for streaming services like Netflix, Hulu, et al. But Roku has diversified of late, licensing its hardware and software to smart TV manufacturers to put into their products. In fact, half of Roku's new users last quarter came thanks to smart TVs made by the likes of TCL with Roku inside them. Roku claims that 1 in 4 TVs sold in the U.S. last quarter were Roku TVs. But Roku also has what it calls platform revenue. In other words, it takes a cut from subscriptions to streaming services on its platform, much like Apple might be attempting to do in the previous story. And it sells ads against content it streams. So Roku has quietly pulled off quite a feat here, if ad revenue and content revenue are delivering more to the company now than hardware sales. Ad and content revenue would obviously be a higher margin business, meaning that Roku has become a streaming platform to be reckoned with. When asked about this shift in revenue, Roku CEO Anthony Wood told Variety, quote, "That shows our business model is working." A couple of other interesting tidbits from the Roku earnings announcement. The company has 20.8 million active accounts, up from 14.2 million a year ago, and streaming hours by users were up 19% sequentially. Roku says that half of its active users are what might be termed as cord cutters, or people who never had a traditional pay TV subscription to begin with.
I'm going to a big AI startup demo day here in the city tomorrow, and I will 100% be decked out in Mack Weldon clothing. Why? Well, Mack Weldon makes timeless apparel with modern performance fabrics for guys who want to look and feel sharp without sacrificing comfort. Mack Weldon clothes are designed to fit your style and the demands of modern life. They look like regular clothes, but feel like the latest in modern comfort. They're the go-to choice for guys who want to look great without even trying. Breathable underwear that keeps you cool, dry, and comfy all day. That's their AirKnit underwear. Crazy, comfortable, but elevated sweatpants, the Ace Collection. An upgraded classic polo with antimicrobial silver threads, the Silver Peak Polo. That's my personal fave. And ultra-soft antimicrobial tees for when you need to stay fresh longer. Their silver crewneck t-shirt. get timeless looks with modern comfort from Mack Weldon. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code RIDE. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code RIDE. How do you make a password that's strong enough so no one will guess it, and it's impossible for you to forget, and do it for 100 different sites, and make it so everyone in your company can do the same without ever needing to reset them? Sounds impossible unless you have 1Password. More than any other product I've ever told you about, I can vouch 1,000% for 1Password. I can't live without it. 1Password makes strong security easy for your people and gives you the visibility you need to take action when you need to. Any device, anytime, 1Password lets you securely switch between iPhone, Android, Mac, and PC with convenient features like autofill for quick sign-ins. All you have to remember is the one strong account password that protects everything else. Your logins, your credit cards, secure notes, or the office Wi-Fi password. 1Password's award-winning password manager is trusted by millions of users and over 100,000 businesses from IBM to Slack. It beat out 40 other options to become Wirecutter's top pick for password managers. Right now, my listeners get a free 2-week trial at 1Password.com/ride for your growing business. That's 2 free weeks at 1Password.com/ride. Don't let security slow your business down. Go to 1Password.com/ride.
Huge raise from free stock trading app Robinhood. Various outlets are reporting that the company has raised a $363 million Series D round that values Robinhood at $5.6 billion. Robinhood started out as a simple stock trading app that didn't charge transaction fees and was targeting especially millennial investors. But it has been expanding into all sorts of things recently, including cryptocurrency trading. And the company says it has 4 million users, which would give it a larger user base than E-Trade. And it has passed $150 billion in transaction volume. As Axios points out, Robinhood seems to want to become a full-fledged consumer finance company and, quote, this is enough cash to help it pursue that goal, end quote. Robinhood is the only place right now where you can trade crypto, stocks, and options all in one place, CEO Vlad Tenev told TechCrunch. For us to construct an experience that feels seamless and natural for customers that, for example, want to sell an equity and use the proceeds to buy crypto seamlessly, that's been challenging not just from a product and design standpoint, but also an infrastructure standpoint. There's complexity under the hood, and our goal is to make it as seamless as possible in the process and make that complexity go away, end quote. Robinhood launched its free cryptocurrency trading just this past February, and though it's only available in 11 states at the moment, Robinhood is having to get all the necessary licenses and regulatory approval. The company said there are 1 million users waitlisted for access to the Robinhood crypto platform. Robinhood told Fortune that it hopes to be either the largest or one of the largest crypto platforms by the end of the year. FYI, this investment round was led by Yuri Milner's DST Group and was joined by a murderer's row, including Sequoia, Kleiner Perkins, and Thrive Capital. I've told you several days in a row now about Duplex, that voice-based assistant service that Google debuted at I.O. So I should probably tell you about the backlash as well. I'll link to two different pieces in the show notes that are coming at it from slightly different angles, but there's been tons of chatter all over the social medias as well. Zeynep Tufekci tweeted, Google Assistant making calls, pretending to be human, not only without disclosing that it's a bot, but adding and ah to deceive the human on the other end, with the room cheering it. Horrifying. Silicon Valley is ethically lost, rudderless, and has not learned a thing, end quote. And Anil Dash tweeted, this stuff is really, really basic, but any interaction with technology or the products of tech companies must exist within a context of informed consent. Something like hashtag Google Duplex fails this test by design, and that's an unfixable flaw, end quote. The Bloomberg piece talking about the backlash that I've linked to notes that the controversy over the new technology has made it to talk radio, where DJs have been wondering out loud if their colors were even real. And that's because the crux of the controversy seems to center around ideas of trust and veracity. quoting from Bloomberg, there's a thin line between Google's aim of making its assistant like a human and not deceiving real humans with software like Duplex, end quote. In his piece, The Verge's James Vincent asks, quote, does Google have an obligation to tell people they're talking to a machine? Does technology that mimics humans erode our trust in what we see and hear? And is this another example of tech privilege where those in the know can offload boring conversations they don't want to have to a machine, while those receiving the calls, most likely low-paid service workers, have to deal with some idiot robot, end quote. Vincent notes that Google is still calling Duplex an experiment, and no timeline has been announced for it to roll out for consumer use. Also, as we discussed yesterday, Duplex currently only works in three very constrained contexts: making reservations at restaurants, scheduling haircuts, and asking businesses for their hours. So it's not that I'm defending Duplex or anything, but I do want to point out that this is still very early days. We're not at the level of passing a Turing test yet, or even a Blade Runner-style replicant test. Not yet, at least. Okay, here's another similarly concerning story about new technology and fears of a robot dystopia. You know, all those cool new voice assistants, Siri, Alexa, Google Assistant, Cortana. What could go wrong with them? Well, what if I could send audio commands to your digital assistant that you couldn't hear, but could maybe nonetheless command it to do things like, I don't know, buy things without your permission or unlock your front door if your smart speaker is connected to your smart home system? There's a piece up in the New York Times outlining how researchers in the US and China have demonstrated techniques to embed audio commands in music or spoken text that the human ear can't hear, but a smart assistant can. As of yet, there's no indication that bad actors are using this sort of technique in the wild, but one of the researchers is quoted in the Times piece as saying, quote, my assumption is that the malicious people already employ people to do what I do, end quote. So, yeah, BuzzFeed's Charlie Wurzel tweeted, probably once every 4 months, I read something like this and am made aware of a new threat embedded in some new technology that I have never even considered, and then I let out a deep guttural moan. The only solace that I can offer Charlie and you is to maybe end with this story. Carnegie Mellon announced today the first undergraduate degree offered by a U.S. university in the field of artificial intelligence. Andrew Moore, dean of Carnegie Mellon's School of Computer Science, said, quote, specialists in artificial intelligence have never been more important, in shorter supply, or in greater demand by employers, end quote. So maybe we can just train a whole new generation of scientists to do battle with the robots, or at least mitigate the work done by the other scientists who are unleashing these robots on our world. If I could somehow secure the rights to the Flaming Lips song Yoshime Battles the Pink Robots, I'd be playing that in the background right now. So go ahead and do that for me. Open up Spotify and search for Yoshime Battles the Pink Robots. I put a link in the show notes. That's the Tech Meme Ride Home for today, everybody. I've been your host, Brian McCullough. Talk to you tomorrow.